The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And final hour has arrived. We are delighted you're with us. And Bobby from Colorado. Bobby, great to have you back.
Paul, well, thank you for Monday and your being so kind with my call about Marie. And when you asked me to tell you something about Marie, I got tongue-tied. So I got a little bit flustered. So I'm going to write a letter to you, giving Marie's biography to you. I didn't do her justice. But I appreciate your kindness.
Well, I look forward to that. And, yeah, maybe I don't know if it was a fair question talking about.
No, it was. That was very gracious for you to inquire, you know, tell me something about Marie. So I kind of fumbled it a little bit. I wasn't succinct. So I spoke to Daniel, and I'm going to write a letter to you to describe her biography and legacy.
Okay. I look forward to that very much.
That. Now, today, with the Vince Scully passing, it was ironic. I thought about this Friday. And if I-Man's listening, I want to thank him for his prayers for Marie and I on May 10. I saw that he had called earlier.
Yeah.
But with Vince Scully passing, it started me thinking that in New York City, in a 50-mile radius of 8 million people, the sports broadcasters, as you all know, there was Mel Allen from the University of Alabama that did the Yankees. And then Red Barber, who was born in Mississippi, and I think he graduated from University of Florida.
Yeah,
and he tied in with the Dodgers, and I believe he mentored Vince Scully when Vince graduated from Fordham University.
Yeah, he did.
And then the Mets had a UT graduate, Lindsey Nelson. So
sure.
It's just ironic that he had three really good professional broadcaster gentlemen.
And the Mets later had Tim McCarver, who he went to the same high school I did. But you're right. I wish I could remember this guy's name. About when was it? About 8 or 9 years ago, I was at Auburn played at the Rose Bowl for the national championship, and I have no earthly idea why I was there the next day. Okay. Because I think we worked until the early morning hours, and there wasn't time to get back to do the show. So I was only doing radio. So I did the or maybe it was the day before, whatever it was. I'm at the Rose Bowl doing a broadcast, and the guy who was my engineer worked for Vin Scully. And I was going back to the airport, and he gave me a ride back to the airport because he was going right. And we went right past Dodger Stadium, and he told me 45 minutes worth of Vin Scully stories about being his engineer that were some of the most priceless, Bobby. And everything you've heard about him today and whenever people have talked about him is he was the nicest guy. I read an article by Bill Plachy, who we had on recently from the LA Times. And he said every time, Bill said every time he wrote about Vin Scully, Vin would call him. I mean, nobody does that anymore. I mean, I've written about people for 30 years, and I've never heard from them back in the day. But that's just who he was, and what a prince of a person he always was down to his final day.
The class act.
Well, baseball broadcasters used to have more of a personal relationship, as you know, because you know this was before television and even after television.
Correct.
I mean, you were in the car, you were on the porch, you were as a kid. I would sneak my transistor radio into my bedroom,
right.
like my parents didn't know what was going on.
Right.
But that's what there was nothing richer than a baseball broadcast.
There was a good identification with the team and the New York baseball Giants. They had Russ Hodges.
Oh yeah.
But your kindness, I added you to my saint and soldier list. Because you're a class act, and I wanted to express that today as well.
Well, Bobby, thank you. Let's continue this. I look forward to when you have some time to talk more about Marie. And you be well. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for the call. We have some news from the NCAA. Okay, so they're not doing anything yet. They were going to make the transfer portal. They were going to change some rules, but we'll just say business as usual for the NCAA. They need they're delaying the unlimited. What they really need to do is they need to have another meeting in a couple of weeks at another five-star Ritz-Carlton resort on the water somewhere in California or Nantucket so they can talk more about this. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Eddie is in Georgia. Hello, Eddie.
Yes, sir. A calm Alabama fan, Brother Paul. And I'm not going to say who wrote the book, but I just finished reading The Bear, The Legendary Life of a Coach. It was based on a screenplay. I don't know if you read the book or not. Being raised the way I was, I had to skip a whole lot of words in that book.
But, now, by the way, Eddie, Eddie, who wrote the book?
Don Keith, and it was based on a screenplay
Jr. No, I know who you're talking about. I remember Don. There was a movie on Brian. It was a terrible movie, but there was a movie in the
80s. Oh, yes, sir. That was with
I've told this story too many times.
The drug addict.
The reason I keep telling the story is because a lot of younger people have not heard it, but I covered the world premiere, I believe it was in 84, of The Bear, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey, the drug addict.
Well,
I
was trying to get an interview with Gary Busey, so I followed him out. He was in the theater right a couple of rows in front of me, so I followed him. I gave him a few minutes. Apparently, he was going to the restroom. So I walked out, and I didn't see Gary Busey. So I stuck my head into the restroom, and I interrupted him while he was sticking something up his nose. but you know what? He did not let that bother him. I continued to interview him, and He was as terrible in the interview as he was on the screen.
Like I said, that would not have been my choice. But hey, that's who they wanted.
Bryant wanted originally John Wayne, but he died, and he died yes, before yes. the movie ever started being produced.
Correct. But I would just like for them. And I've been living in Georgia now since '76. And I don't know if you remember the last time I called. The last time I called was when, I forget her name, she was from Florida. She was in tears. She had me in tears. I called and I said, you know what? If Alabama loses to Georgia, it's for her. And the next day after Alabama lost to Georgia, I called where I work. I'm now retired. So I called the people that I knew wanted Georgia to win. I said, hey, congratulations to all the Georgia fans. And that's the way I took a loss. A ball game is just a ball game. It's not life or death. Alabama fans, please act your age and not your shoe size.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. Dennis is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, you didn't know what they did over in Clemson. I worked over there, done a little work, and it's in the middle of a cow pasture.
Right.
It's agriculture school, and they hunt cows over there is what they do, Paul.
So they do what to cows? They pump them?
They teach them how to... They teach them how to hunt cows.
Oh, I did not realize
breed
that.
Cows.
So they breed cows at Clemson.
I
went to a school that had an ag campus, and it was a big part of everyday life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with breeding cows or whatever they do there. So that's all they do though is they breed cows, right?
Yeah, but the Clemson the students are doing the breeding.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling there was a joke there. I don't know how I saw that one coming. I guess I'm really slipping here. We'll take a break. Chris Doering, who is not slipping, will join us in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. Chris Doering back with us. We saw him in Atlanta, and he's been everywhere since then, but that's Chris. That's the life of Chris Doering. Chris, all week long, we're hearing from Tennessee fans. Yesterday, a guy called up and said 11-1. Today, a young man said 12-0, and they're unequivocal. You know fans,
yeah.
But you look at it differently. You're not a fan. You're an analyst, and break down Tennessee in terms of how they can make that next move and what you would be concerned about.
First of all, I love it. As a fan of this conference, the league is better when Tennessee's better. The league is better when Florida's better. I'd love to see a little more balance between the East and the West like it used to be. But I'll say this. I look at what they did last year with all of the departures through the transfer portal, with all of the people second-guessing whether or not Josh Heupel was the right pick for that head coaching position, and to overachieve the way they did, to make an adjustment moving from one quarterback to the next, finding their guy in Hendon Hooker. I thought Josh Heupel did a great job last year, and I'm excited about the future. The thing that I look at, two things. All right, how do you replace Velus Jones and his production? I think there's some young guys they're really excited about. And defense in the secondary, they were miserable, as we remember that last game against Purdue,
Yeah. Giving
up a ton of passing yards. So those are the things I want to see them improve upon, and also see how they handle the success from last year and maybe not read into too much of those headlines that people are talking about.
I think what the fans are looking at is a schedule that, depending on how you want to play it, is favorable.
Don't you love the first month of the season, though?
Yeah.
As you look at it, I mean, you get the Ball State game. Pittsburgh was one they let it get away last year. That was one, if maybe the quarterback situation is the way it finished up, that you beat Pittsburgh, you get Akron, and then you get a chance to beat Florida at home. That's a game they have to have. I think that Florida game, with the run that dominance that Florida's had, they've got to find a way to get that monkey off their back. And getting Florida early in the season, I think, is of advantage to Tennessee.
Yeah, and you know, Pittsburgh only lost one of the two or three best quarterbacks and one of the best wide receivers. I mean, their production is going to be lessened. The game is up there. Whether that matters or not in Pittsburgh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no – and I'll say this. Going to Pittsburgh in September, having played for the Steelers, is much better than going there in October or November. So I think that benefits them too.
And Pittsburgh, not to keep helping the Tennessee cause, but it's a week after the West Virginia game, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not for anyone else.
What do they call that? Backyard brawl?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great point, too.
A lot of cliches that will be uttered that week. Let me ask you about Auburn, because that's the team that even the fans aren't saying too much about right now.
Do you know anything about Auburn? Like,
no.
I feel like I know the least about Auburn of any team in the conference. Now, I do know this. I like Brian Harsin. I've come to get to know him better the last couple of months, whether we went to Destin for spring meetings or in Atlanta. He seems to have a leadership factor about it that the players are buying into. I thought Tank Bigsby described his participation in all of their workouts really well. This guy's out there running stadium decks with them. He's showing that he's committed to doing things that he's asking his players to do. I think there's a lot of buy-in. Now, I do have questions about the quarterback position, and I have questions about getting back to that historical, you know, defensive line that we expect from Auburn. But I do think that there's reason to be more optimistic than I was probably at the end of last year and in the beginning of the offseason when all that turmoil was taking place in Auburn.
And the thing that those who like Auburn, and there aren't that many, but the reason that those who do like Auburn, they point to the same thing we just talked about with Tennessee, the schedule. It's hard to get a better schedule when you start almost the first half of the season is at home.
Yeah. No, I mean, the front-loaded home schedule is great for kind of getting on a roll and being able to build some confidence, which I think this team needs. But it doesn't do you any favors in the second half of the schedule, that's for sure.
You better have a good record.
That Penn State game, I think those Auburn fans are looking for a little payback after last year. The whiteout was a great environment for Auburn to go play on the road. And I think that Jordan Hare is going to be electric on September 17th.
Yeah, it better be, because if you lose that game, you're at Georgia, you're at Alabama. That speaks for itself. And then at Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, A&M. I mean, there's not much in the second half of the season you can be optimistic about.
Yeah, I think there's always in the SEC a defining 3- or 4-game run. In this situation, you look at having to go to Georgia, having to go to Ole Miss, playing against Arkansas, who, you know, a lot of people are high on this year. I think Mississippi State's going to be a much improved team.
Right.
They're one that I believe is going to be a big mover from where they were last year to this year. So I think the same thing can be said about every team, particularly in the West, having that run of difficult, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row is challenging.
Well, let's hit the Gators, because another program, the optimism is ridiculous, but I always listen to Florida fans and need to remind them that it's not, we're not talking about the 90s any longer.
Yeah.
Or the
I got killed, Paul, here recently. I described Florida's fan base as one of the worst, and I consider myself to be a part of this fan base, having grown up in that stadium as a fan, the son of two Florida grads, having played there, obviously. But the impatience is something that really frustrates me. And there's been a lot of, when I say negativity, everybody has that vocal minority on the internet and in the chat rooms and everything else. But the fact that so many people are caught up in the recruiting, which the recruiting has gotten better the last week, this run of commitments that Florida's had within the last 7 to 10 days has, I think, changed a lot of people's opinions. But just, guy hadn't even coached the game yet. Let's give him some time to build relationships and start recruiting after he has those ties in the state that you need to be successful.
But I would, and we've seen this before with Mullen, but he always seemed to finish strong, but it didn't seem to change.
Yeah, I've talked to some coaches that were on that staff last year. They said they were devoid of really any elite SEC talent. You know, and I think the year before when they went to the SEC championship game, it was three players, Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, right, Kadarius Toney, that were able to cover up some of the weaknesses that they had on that team. They've got to do a better job of recruiting defensive line, as I talked about with Auburn. Florida is known for their defensive line. They've got to get better up front with stopping the run and creating pressure in that way. But I think Billy Napier feels good about their first 22. It's the depth behind those guys that I think is going to define the type of season they have, along with Anthony Richardson. He's got to be more consistent throwing the football, not turning it over, and being in the lineup, which we saw him miss some games due to injury last year.
Chris, with their talent, Florida fans still look at the board and they go, oh, yeah, we can beat that team, we can beat that team. But, I mean, their schedule is obscene.
I don't think – if anybody thinks that they can beat this team and that team or win 10 games, I think you're dreaming a little bit. That Utah game off the start – the Pac-12 defending champion that returns a bunch of production from last year.
Twice.
Yeah. They're a really good football team. The thing I like is that they have to come to the swamp in early September, where Most teams from out of the area melt.
Do we know when that game is? What time?
I think it's 7 or 8 at night. So that is a benefit to Utah. But it'll still be
tremendous benefit.
Still be hot. Still be very humid.
You'd
so
like
I
to
think
see
that
game at 11 in the morning.
I wish we could move it to noon. That would be great. But that Kentucky game is huge for supremacy in the East. I think you look at the last four games, Kentucky 2-2 over that span. So they believe that they can beat the Gators in any place that they play them. And then we talked about the Tennessee game at the end of the month. So much of what we've talking about today has to do with that first month of the season for any of these teams that we're trying to figure out who they're trying to be this year.
So, but in terms of talent, and you mentioned the first 22, after a while that starts to dissipate. We all know what the attrition is. What does this team look like as the season wears on and those games keep piling up? Because Billy Napier didn't inherit a lot.
No, I didn't inherit a lot, but did have some success with some transfer portal guys. Okay. Brought three over from Louisiana, two on the offensive line that they're going to count on. I think they feel good about the upgrade on the offensive line position. But they've got to find a way to get a dynamic playmaker on the outside at the receiver spot. A lot of criticism about the previous staff recruiting the same type of guys and not having much diversity at that position. So I think so much of it has to do with Anthony Richardson, though. We've seen such peaks from what he's been able to do and then the opposite valleys. He's got to find a way to be more consistent and make some of those plays that we've come to know him and expect, but not have those dumb, mind-blowing errors like they had against Georgia in the first half.
How much of it is him, inexperience that's no longer going to be a factor, or is it what's around him?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, at this point, you can't do much more with what's around him. You've already gone out and recruited and added in the transfer portal. But I think he's a guy, you look at him, he's got all the physical gifts, the size, the arm strength, the running ability, the physicality. But I think that he has to find a way to make the easy plays. You know, I've seen him throw a guy in the flat where he one hops it to him or misses a deep over. Those are the plays in this league, if you're going to be a great quarterback, that you have to make. You can make the big, you know, the big wow plays, but you got to make the consistent ones.
Before you go, naturally, Nick Saban made a lot of news today. He talked about last year being a rebuilding year for
that, that's what I said all last year. I was criticizing Alabama for being – I wasn't criticizing, but I wasn't putting them in the elite category.
You and I
talked about that a lot last year.
You told us in Gainesville that day, you were here and we were there. You thought Florida had a real shot, and they did have
a real shot. And in hindsight, that wasn't a very good Florida team either. But I thought the thing to the credit of Alabama, and particularly Nick Saban – they got better as the year went on. They had a lot of youth, particularly on the defense, that had to grow up throughout the season. Their offensive line was never one that I thought was all that consistent, despite having Evan Neal, who ended up going in the top 10 of the NFL draft. But I think that's a big question for this year, is how can they be better on the offensive line, protect Bryce better than what they did last year? How can they be more consistent at the center position? Those are the things. If there is an Achilles heel, it would be that offensive line that concerns me.
That's not going to go over well.
You feel good about the offensive line?
I defer to you.
Okay.
If you get me trying to break down an offensive line, we're in for a long afternoon.
Yeah. Offensive line and receiver, figuring out how to find a guy that can step into those Metchie and Williams shoes from last year is important.
Good to see you again.
Great to be with you, man. Thanks,
we'll
Paul. Appreciate it.
We'll see you a lot this fall and, of course, talk to you on Friday. We'll take a short break. We have 30 minutes remaining, and your phone calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and we're taking your phone calls here. Let's grab Miss Pat first up. How are you, Miss Pat?
Hey, Paul. I just have a quick thing to say about Auburn. I think they're coming in hot. I think they're going to be great, and war damn eagle.
Well, that was certainly the best analysis we've heard in a long time. Mudbone is up next.
Yeah, hey, Paul.
Hey, Mudbone.
Yeah, from Arkansas, round hair, round Sheridan. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Jerome,
yeah.
Is he like Eddie Murray?
I wish he was, because if he talked like Eddie Murphy, he would be much funnier than he is.
Well, he sounds just like
him. He does sound like Eddie Murphy.
And I'm wondering, do y'all have some kind of thing with Eddie Murphy?
In fact, I don't know Eddie Murphy. I've been to many of his movies. He's a funny guy, comedian. I actually saw him once as a comedian, but I've never met Eddie Murphy. If you know him, we'd probably like to meet him. Ron is in Ocala. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
I feel like I'm right on time, getting ready to right before the season, man. So I hear all y'all Tennessee Volunteers chirping up today. I didn't hear no Wildcats. That's good. But so I'm just trying to see what you're thinking, because at this point, like, you know, I hear what Chris Dorn's saying, but I've heard it all before, man. I've heard it all before about what we can't do, and I know what we routinely do when we get a good coach in there. So we're going to Tennessee. What are you thinking? So I'm asking you, do you want to put a wager up? Can we do what we did before? Can I get you in another jersey? Can we do that again? What's going on?
Well, Ron, I'm gonna say it right now, and I would like to see what Florida does, but I'm not gonna do that, because that's no fun. Florida is losing in Neyland Stadium this year. You can mark that down.
Okay, so if Florida is losing, can I do something? You know, I don't know, whatever you want me to do, because I know we're not. Let's wait. I'll wait to Kentucky.
Yeah, why don't we? Because I may change my mind, and I don't want to be stuck there on the Saturday, sitting there at Neyland Stadium and going, Florida wins the game. I mean, I think we ought to decide that week, okay? We can talk smack until then, but ultimately, I think we both deserve the opportunity to see what the teams look like.
Yeah, we do, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you guys are thinking that we're coming out there to be third place in the East, I can promise you that's not happening. So,
well, Ron, I can probably promise you as well. I think right now Florida would probably be fortunate to be third place in the East.
You got jokes. You got some good jokes. You just make sure you have.
What do you think I am? Like, you think this is Ocala, Florida radio here? I mean, this is big time. You think we're all gonna? Get an Uber and go down and see the glass bottom boat?
I will see you in Nashville then, because I think I'm going to make the trip if that's the case.
I guarantee I'm making it. So you be my guest that morning. You come by and see us, and we'll have a good time. Thanks,
right,
man. I mean, Ron thought he was going to walk in here and talk some smack about the Gators beating Tennessee. Now, I will tell you, I've made that mistake a few times before, but this is a different year. Knox is in Tennessee. Knox, go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? I'm Knox from the great state of Tennessee, and I just want to say I'm looking at all these Heisman predictions, and I'm not seeing Hendon Hooker's name anywhere on that list.
Well, it's early. It's early.
I get that it's early, and listen, man, I'm not one of those Tennessee fans calling in thinking we're going 12-0. We're not going 12-0. We're going 15-0 because we're winning a national championship this year, and you got to give a national championship quarterback a Heisman, right?
I would think so.
Hey, Paul, what do you think our real chances are here are being in the national championship? What are you thinking?
Slim.
Slim?
Yeah, slim.
Where are you seeing our losses at?
Well, I think if I had to rank the difficulty of games, I would start with at Georgia.
I could see that one.
Next, I would put Alabama, although I think that game is in play, depending on what we see from Alabama. And then I don't really see another game that I would be lacking in confidence with, because I think the rest of them are manageable.
And look, Paul, that's what I'm saying. The rest are manageable. When is the last time you ever said about Tennessee? Coin flip with Alabama, maybe even a coin flip in Athens.
Well, it's not a coin flip. I am not going with 10-2, but I'm saying is, realistically, Knox, the obvious game, I mean, the Georgia game, I don't see as being winnable. The Alabama game, I really don't either, but I will grant you the opportunity to dream. Thank you very, very much for the call. Swami is in Tennessee. You're next up. Hey, Swami.
Well, hey, big guy. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
Swami has a question now, Paul.
Okay.
You remember when Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy was, you know, was raising hell after a game about, you know, some people and reporters getting on to some of his players, and, you know, he made that statement like, hey, get on to me, I'm a man, you know. But,
sure.
Paul, can he really say that now about these professional athletes playing at the collegiate level? I mean, to the Swami, I think they're fair game now. I mean, they're pros now. You buy a ticket, feel free to raise hell on whoever you want to.
You know, that's a great point, Swami, because I made the mistake early in my career of criticizing players, and somebody called me, a much older person, and said, you don't do that. These are college students. But are they really anymore? And I know the administrators don't want to hear that because they want to hide behind the student athlete, and that's all that matters. But Bryce Young is going to make about $3 or $4 million this year as a student athlete.
Well, you know, you had that gentleman, I think his name was Rascal there in Vietnam. They're at the same age these guys are. With bullets being fired at them, these guys can't take, you know, these prima donnas can't take a little, you know, rubbing on them. And lastly, Paul, you know, the call we had last week about this college expansion, and, you know, you said the Swami wanted to go back to 1962. But really, Paul, if you weren't at ESPN right now and you were still back in Birmingham, you'd be raising as much hell as I am about this.
No, I wouldn't.
I think that's a true statement.
No, because I really believe, now I will say the opportunity here has put me closer to a lot of former players and players that I've listened to, but I have completely changed my opinion on this, Swami. There was a time when I did agree with you, but I've gotten to know these players more about being out on a campus every week and talking to different ones, and I think this is their time. This is their moment. When coaches are making $11 and $12 million a year,
the players better get something. With NIL. I have no problem with the NIL.
Well, what do you have a problem with?
I have the problem with the college expansion. I just have the problem with college expansion. Let the players make all the money they want.
Here's what I think. You know, there are still people in college athletics, such as the commissioner at the ACC and other places, who believe in that model that used to be the prevailing wind of college sports. But I frankly like where it's going. I'm for expanding. I'm for having two or three super leagues, and the rest of the, if you want to play by different rules, you can have your own league. But college athletics right now is big time. It is the NFL. And I'm good with it. This is 2022. This isn't 1962 any longer. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.